Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta. And we're on text number 4. Shri Shuku Vacho Kadachit. Autanika Kautuka Plave Janmarksha Yoge Samaveta Yositam Bharitra Gita Dvija Mantra Vachakshai Vachakais Chakara Sunor Abhisechanam Sati Shishuku Vacha Kadachit Autan Nikakauturlaplave Janmarksha Yoge Samaveta Yositam Varita Gita Dvija Mantra Vachakais Chikara Sunor Abhisechanam Sati Shri Suku Vacha Kadachit Autan Nikakauta Laplate Then marks a yoga samaveta yositam Varitra Gita Dvija Mantra Vachakais Chikara Sunur Abhishechanam Sati Shri Suku Vacha Kadachit Auta Nika Kautu Kaplave Janmarksha Yoge Samaveta Yositam Varitra Gita Dvija Mantra Dvachakais Chikara Sunur Abhishechanam Sati Kadachit atan nikakauta kaplave Janmarksha yoge samaveta yositam Marita gita dvija mantra vachakais Chikara sunur abhisechanam sati Varita Gita Dvija Manta Vachakais Chakura Sunura Visecha Namasati. Please. Jisukura Vacha. Kadata Yata Nikakati Papave. Shisuku Vacha. Shri Sukade Goswami continued to speak at the request of Maharaj Parikshit. Kadachit, at that time, when Krishna was 3 months old, Autanika Kautuka Aplave. When Krishna was 3 or 4 months old and his body was developing, he attempted to turn around. And this pleasing occasion was observed with a festival and bathing ceremony. Janma Riksha Yoga. At that time, there was also a conjunction of the moon with the auspicious constellation Rohini. Samaveta Yositam. The ceremony was observed among the assembled women, a ceremony of mothers. Padittugita. Different varieties of music and singing. Dvijamantravachakai. With chanting of Vedic hymns by qualified brahmanas. Chakara. Executed. Shuno. Of her son. Abhishchanam. The bathing ceremony. Sati, Mother Yasoda. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Mother Yasoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. In such a ceremony called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Yasoda celebrated this ceremony with other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini. As the Brahmanas, joined by chanting Vedic hymns and professional musicians, also took part, this great ceremony was observed by Mother Yasoda. Purport: there is no question of overpopulation or of children's being a burden for their parents in a Vedic society. Such a society is so well organized that people are so advanced in spiritual consciousness that childbirth is never regarded as a burden or a botheration. The more a child grows, the more his parents become jubilant, and the child's attempts to turn over are also a source of jubilation. Even before the child is born, when the mother is pregnant, many recommended ritualistic ceremonies are performed. For example, when the child has been within the womb for 3 months, and for 7 months there is a ceremony the mother observes by eating with neighboring children. This ceremony is called Svada Bhakshana. Similarly, before the birth of the child, there is the Garbhadan ceremony. In Vedic civilization, childbirth or pregnancy is never regarded as a burden. Rather, it is a cause for jubilation. In contrast, people in modern civilization do not like pregnancy or childbirth, and when there is a child, they sometimes kill it. We can just consider how human society has fallen since the inauguration of Kali Yuga. Although people still claim to be civilized, at the present moment there is actually no human civilization, but only an assembly of two-legged animals. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Jnanata Manandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krota Vachalam Pangun Langhayate Guri Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarnam Vanchakapatyubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I asked for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas that I could say something which is beneficial for all of us. The first thing that Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, which is kind of interesting, there is no question of overpopulation or of children's being a burden for their parents in a Vedic society. See, there's this theory of overpopulation. I travel a lot and I see a lot of empty land. The Maharaj also, he does a lot of traveling. Prabhupada also, he quite often would say it's just mismanagement. You know, there's so much empty land, and this land can be used for villages, but instead there's so many people just going to the cities, you know, going to the cities. Why? For sense gratification. You know? And it's just it's getting worse and worse in these big cities. So it's just mismanagement. Unfortunately, we have about 200 countries on this planet, and none of them are working together. It's just, they're just autonomous. You know, they just can't work together. So it's just creating chaos. And another problem, they say, with overpopulation is there's not enough food. But actually, you may be shocked to hear about 40% of the food grown on this planet is thrown away, never makes it to the dinner table. One reason being is that the food has to be cosmetic. It has to look very good. Otherwise, the supermarkets just throw it away because people won't buy it. and also sometimes it goes bad due to, so much food is just wasted. And wheat also, I think it's still thrown in the ocean sometimes. So much food is wasted. So there's no question of overpopulation. I remember Prabhupada one time said, there's enough land and enough food for 10 times the amount of people we have now on the planet. It's just mismanagement. So Krishna, he's aham bija padapita. He's the father of all living entities. So the father, he's going to take care of everyone if we're good children. See, this is the problem. We're not so good children. There's this one prayer, what is that, in the Christian religion? God, give us our daily bread. So they're praying for bread. But actually, you don't have to pray for bread. You know, imagine a father, he has a son, and every morning the son goes to the father and says, Father, will you feed me today? Will you give me bread today? Father, please feed me today. After a while, the father's going to think, boy, there's something wrong with my kid here. No, obviously the father is going to feed the child. So we don't have to pray for bread. There's this amazing pastime of Prahlad Maharaj after Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakasipu. He said to Prahlad Maharaj, I'll give you any benediction, whatever you want. And Prahlad Maharaj's response was interesting. He said, I don't want to do business with you. I don't want anything from you. I just want to serve you. But he said, actually, there is one thing I want. My father was a demon. And you've killed him. Please deliver him. Just see how compassionate, how advanced a devotee can be. Didn't want anything for himself. I mean, God is saying, I'll give you anything you want. It means you can get a whole planet. You can just get anything you want, or many planets. Yeah. But he didn't want anything for himself. He just wanted that his father be delivered. And Lord Nrisimhadev, he said, actually, not only is your father delivered, but for many, many generations, before and after, they're all liberated because you're such a great devotee. So this is a real devotee. Didn't want anything for himself, just wanted to serve. And Sudama also, this wonderful verse, when Sudama also was offered this benediction, I'll give you whatever you want. He said, my dear Lord, I just want to serve you. Please, give me devotion for you. Give me friendship with your devotees and compassion for all living entities. These are the three things. They're all selfless things. All selfless. He just wanted devotion for Krishna, friendship with the devotees, and compassion for all living entities. So this is a devotee. So by practicing this Krishna consciousness, We also will develop these qualities. Yeah. An example is given of just like a very wealthy person develops the symptoms of a wealthy person. He has a big home, a fancy car, servants, big bank account. So also, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we develop the symptoms of an advanced devotee. Peacefulness, self-control, austere, kind, compassionate. So many of these qualities. Tikshava Krunika, Surda Saradehinam. He's tolerant. He's very compassionate. The Tikshava Krunika, Surda, so he's a friend to all living entities. Ajata, Satvata, Shanta, and no enemies. Characteristics that are sublime. So these symptoms gradually manifest in a devotee as we advance in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. These are nice symptoms, something to look forward to, yeah, as we advance. So due to mismanagement, there's so much chaos in society. Because the leaders, they don't know what to do. Nateva du swartha gatinghi Vishnu. Dirase bahyarthi manina. They don't know that what is actually valuable, what is very, very valuable, is that we worship Krishna. This is very valuable. Very valuable consciousness to have. Yeah, that we worship Krishna. But what are they thinking is very valuable? Sense gratification. Money. Sense gratification. Very valuable. Very important that we get sense gratification. So therefore it's chaotic throughout society. The people are blind. The leaders are blind. Yeah. And the people are following the blind leaders. Yeah. But we had one president here in America, the fourth president of this country, James Madison, very thoughtful. He's called the father of the Bill of Rights, and he's the one that wrote this this right that we take advantage of every day: freedom of speech, freedom of religion. James Madison gets the credit for that. So he's a very thoughtful, God-conscious president, whom we're very thankful for, we're grateful for, that we're able to distribute books in public places all over this this country. So here in the purport, Prabhupada also mentions the Vedic system, the Vedic culture. So in the Vedic culture, there was so much pleasure in raising a child. Not only there was so much preparation in having a child also, so much pleasure in having a child, and so much preparation before even having the child. Therefore, there was this garbhadan samskara. 50 rounds, the husband and the wife, they chant 50 rounds in preparation for a child to come. How long does that take? It's about 6 hours of chanting. And they're praying for a pure soul to come so they can raise this child in Christian consciousness. And now we're hearing how after 3 months they had this Uttana festival. So you can imagine the scene there. Either Nandamaraj or Mother Yasoda saw Krishna trying to roll over, and they said, "Oh, Uttana festival. Bring the musicians, bring the brahmanas, invite the neighbors, let's have a festival." All he was going to do was roll over. I mean, it's amazing, you know. So many festivals. Yeah. Just like we're hearing here, after was it 3 months or 6 months in the womb, and then 7 months or something, then they have another, they invite all the children because another child is going to come out. They're going to have a friend to play with. So they invite all the children. Yeah. It's amazing. So many festivals. One time Prabhupada said, "We can have a festival every day." Yeah. Prabhupada was really into festivals too. And we have many, many festivals. So this is part of the Vedic civilization. So many festivals. Here Prabhupada mentions that he mentions that it wasn't a burden to the parents to have a child. I remember hearing one lady on book distribution. She said, we were talking about abortion. She said, "Yeah, you know, I was going to have a child, but I wanted to have a suntan this summer. So if I have a big belly, I can't get a suntan. So I aborted it." See the mentality? You know, it's a sick mentality. She couldn't get a suntan if she got pregnant, so she killed her child. You know? Kali Yuga, it's just like, it's becoming insane. And every year on this planet, there's between 40 and 50 million abortions on this planet. That means during this class, thousands of abortions are going to take place just during this class. It's so crazy. In India, the land of Dharma, 7 million a year. In India. So it's just becoming so insane. But then on the other hand, look at Uttara. Uttara, a weapon was coming to kill her son, Parikshit. And she prayed to Krishna, "Please, Krishna, protect my child. May I die. But please protect my child. You see? The difference in the mentality of a devotee. May I die, but let my child live. So this is the Vedic civilization. So much respect for life. Especially the children. And they were raised so nicely to be Krishna conscious. And we're seeing that it works. Yeah? I've seen that many children in our society, they grow up and they're learning how to play the mridanga, just like we see Abhay. He's running around playing the mridanga, we heard yesterday. So he'll learn how to play mridanga and he'll learn so much about Krishna consciousness. But then, as we've seen, they get distracted. Because Maya is very expert at attracting the living entity, the glare of Maya. So many of our children have been misdirected. But then, as we're seeing here in the past few months or a year or so, they also come back. Nilamadava, he got distracted very seriously. But then somehow he got inspired, and now he's one of the most enthusiastic devotees in this community. Nomi also. Nomi got distracted, and now he's here every morning playing mridanga, fired up. They just have this change of heart. Even the children that are born in this movement, at one point they have to decide, I want to join. It's not automatic that they're born in the movement and they become a devotee. No, it's not automatic. Paramakaruna also, he got seriously distracted. And then he became a full-time book distributor. And now he's doing so much service for society as a lawyer. He's taken on the role of his father, Amarendra Prabhu. So it's not automatic. Just like we join, they have to also join. But it's so important that they get that Krishna consciousness in the beginning. And then later, if they do get distracted, they can pick it up again. They remember. It was so nice. I've spoken to many Gurukul children. They had a wonderful time growing up in the Gurukul. Many had bad experiences, but many of them had a wonderful time, growing up in the Gurukul. And many of them are still devotees. So it's so important that the children are raised as nicely as possible in Krishna consciousness. And then it's likely that they'll pick it up. So this pastime that we're hearing here, this is called Bala Gopal. This is the childhood pastimes of Krishna. And in Gujarat, that's who they worship, Bala Gopal. Practically all over this state, they worship Bala Gopal. And many of them think that the reason that we worship Bala Gopal is because when Krishna got older, he became polluted. He went in the forest of Vrindavan playing the flute, and so many girls are coming, and he's dancing with them, and he became polluted. They think this. Millions of Hindus think that Krishna became polluted. But Krishna never becomes polluted. He never becomes polluted. Therefore, it's stated in the Adityavarnam Tamasa Parashtat, that Krishna, he is never bewildered by the modes of material nature. Mayadakchena prakriti suyate satra. Contrary to that, he's in control of the modes of nature. He can never be overcome by ignorance or passion or even material mode of goodness. He's always transcendental. So, unfortunately, they think that Krishna became polluted, but Krishna, he's in Vrindavan, he's playing the flute, he's just up there playing the flute. It's not that he was going around and he was wooing the girls, trying to get them out and to dance with him. No, he just played the flute and they came. They came to Krishna. And what did Krishna say? go home. And the gopis said, Krishna, only you can speak like this. Here we are, the most beautiful woman on the planet, here in the dead of night with you, and you're telling us to go home. And he tells them, ladies, it's dark. There's so many wild animals here. It's dangerous. You go home. What are you doing here? Your family members are going to be worried. Go home. And they just stood there, you know, lamenting, looking down, and hoping that Krishna has a change of heart. Yeah. So it's not that Krishna was going out and trying to get girls, like all over the city here, and men are going around trying to get girls. No, Krishna wasn't like that. No, Krishna cannot be polluted. To the contrary also, Krishna, he's so pure, as described in the Nectar Devotion, there's two types of purity. One is where one is so pure that he doesn't do anything impure. So Krishna never does anything impure. He did that, you know, he's dancing with the girls. Why? To please the girls, to please the gopis. He's Atmaram. He doesn't have to do anything to be happy. He's completely satisfied, totally satisfied. So, also Krishna, he steals. So someone thinks, well, that's not good. Isn't that a polluted activity, to steal? Yeah. No. The residents of Vrindavan, they take pleasure in seeing Krishna stealing. In the Nectar Devotion, there's this pastime where Krishna, he's going into one gopi's house, and he sees that the gopi is laying on the couch there. And he tells the other cowherdman, shh, she's sleeping. She's sleeping. Be quiet, we'll get the butter. And that this gopi, actually, she's awake, and she hears Krishna. But she didn't want to interrupt this pastime of Krishna stealing butter, so she didn't move. They take pleasure in Krishna stealing butter and his dancing with the gopis. And whatever Krishna does, it's pure. So that's one type of purity. That whatever Krishna does, it's pure. Another type of purity is that anybody that comes in contact with such a person becomes purified. So that's Krishna to an unlimited degree. You see the deity of Krishna, you get purified. You chant the name Krishna, you get purified. You hear the name Krishna, you get purified. You eat the food that has been offered to Krishna, you get purified. Any way we come in contact, when you read the books of Krishna, you get purified. What other ways? How else do we get purified in contact with Krishna, huh? I already said that. I said prasadam. Huh? By serving, yes. By serving Krishna. Especially. Even being killed by Krishna. Amazing. Just see how kind Krishna is. Huh? You get killed by Krishna, and you can go to the spiritual world and become Krishna's nurse. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing mercy, huh? So this is Krishna. You know, this is God. We recently heard of the unfortunate passing of Nataji in Bombay. So before he joined, he had a guru who said he was God. So, but Nataji was also attracted to Prabhupada. So he was explaining to Prabhupada, you know, my guru, he says he's God. So then Prabhupada would say, well, you ask him this. And then he would go back to his guru and he would explain what Prabhupada said, and then he would go back to Prabhupada. So this is going on quite a bit. So then one time Prabhupada said, ask your guru, your God guru, if he can lift a table, a dining table, for 7 minutes with one hand. So Nataji went back and he told his guru God, Prabhupada's asking if you could lift a dining table with one hand for 7 minutes. And he said, how can I do that? How can I do that? How is this possible? So from that, Nataji gave up his guru.
man.
Prabhupada said, look at, this is the difference. Krishna, he is lifting a mountain for 7 days with the pinky of his left hand, and this so-called guru can't lift a table for 7 minutes. Yeah, what kind of a guru is this? So then Natadi was convinced, this guy's bogus. Yeah. Yeah. So many bogus gods. So this, all these pastimes that we're going to hear, and we're just beginning now, shows how God is great. Everybody that's a theist understands God is great. But our books explain how God is great. So many amazing pastimes. Yeah. Just like this, I recently read this amazing pastime, Krishna. He was in Vrindavan. And he and his cowherd boy friends, they saw that the gopis, they're making these pearl necklaces. So Krishna went to the gopis and they said, "Oi, gopis, can you give us some of your pearls? We want to make some pearl necklaces for our cows." And they said, "For your cows? We're not going to give you any pearls to make pearl necklaces for your cows. Go away. Don't bother us." "No, please, gopis, be nice. You know, we're residents of Vrindavan. Please, be nice." No, we don't want to give you any." And he said, "All right, then I'm going to grow my own pearls." "You can't grow pearls. They come from the ocean." "Oh yeah, you watch." So he went to Mother Yasoda. "Mother Yasoda, Mataji, can you give me some pearls? We're going to grow some pearls so we can make some pearl necklaces for our cows." Silly boy, don't you know? Pearls come from the ocean. You can't grow pearls." No, Mata, I can grow. I know, I'm the son of a farmer. I know how. Give me some pearls, please." Okay, gave some pearls. So Krishna lined them up. He took them to the agricultural field and he lined them up very nicely. You know. A good amount of pearls. Next day, they started sprouting. And then they started growing and growing and growing. And pearls. And how are they? What were they milking these pearl plants with? Anybody know? Milk. They were watering the pearls with milk. So all these plants started growing, and pearls coming out everywhere. Tons of pearls are coming out of these plants. And they're making these, and they start making these nice pearl necklaces for the cows. And generally pearls are white, right? But these pearls were green and blue and red and yellow and white, like rainbow, you know, beautiful. So then the gopis, they found out. He grew pearls. How is this possible? So the gopis went to Krishna and the cowherd boys and said, "Krishna, can you give us some of your pearls? We want to grow some pearls too." No, you have pearls already." "No, but we tried with our pearls. They're not growing. But with your pearls, maybe we can grow some pearls also." No, nothing doing. You wouldn't give us your pearls. Now you're asking for our pearls? No, we're not going to give any pearls." So then they said, "Well, listen, how about if we give you some gold? If we give you some gold, will you give us some of your pearls?" "Gold? Just one of our pearls has more value than the Kaustubha gem on Lord Vishnu. These pearls are so valuable, and we're not going to give you any of them." So then they're lamenting, and they went away. But then Krishna, he's very kind, so he told the cowherd boys, "All right, let's do it. Let's make some pearl necklaces for all the gopis too." So they did that. They made these beautiful pearl necklaces for the gopis, and they put them in these little containers. And Krishna went and he gave one to Radharani, and they gave them to all the gopis there, and they got these pearl necklaces. So this is Krishna. Krishna's very kind, you see. So many amazing pastimes, wonderful pastimes. And we could go on and on. Actually, I just want to mention one thing that I heard recently about wealth. Gold is very valuable, right? One of the most valuable things. But to get gold, you have to dig very deep in the earth, and you have to remove a lot of dirt, right? And then after so much work, then they get the gold. And so similarly, we have something that's very valuable. All of us have something that's very valuable within us, and that's love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajjikabunoi. It's there within us. But there's a problem. There's dirt covering this very valuable love for Krishna. So this process of Krishna consciousness means we're removing this dirt, this lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. Yeah. So there's a lot of dirt there. So we have to do some internal excavating. We have to go within. And we have to pray to Krishna to help, because we can't do it on our own. It's impossible. Daivi Hesa Ganamai, this divine energy of mine, it's so powerful. So powerful. Yeah. So the only way that we can bring out this love for Krishna is we have to pray very sincerely. We have to be very strict servants of Krishna. Just Vyavasaya Me Kabudir, just one pointed fixed determination to serve Krishna, yeah, throughout this life. Yeah. Not get distracted. You know, we've joined this movement, we can also get distracted again, as we've seen. So many people have come and left because of being distracted. So don't get distracted. You know, we have to take this very seriously and try so hard to please Krishna, to stay fixed in devotional service. So, is there any question? It's a little late. Any question? Maybe one question? Yes. Brigapati Prabhu. There's a comment. So there's a microphone coming, and then one question, and then we'll stop there. Well, yeah.
I don't have a question. I just want to make a thank you for a wonderful class. I just want to make one comment. Jai Chaitanya forwarded me a link for there was a really favorable article that just came out about ISKCON in Forbes magazine, which is, you know, very like famous, prestigious magazine. So devotees might like to have a look at that.
Oh, that's good news. That's the good morning news here in New Dwarka.
Somebody
Forbes magazine has given a very favorable article about the Hare Krishna movement. Yeah, I'd like to see that myself. Here's a question.
I have a comment, Prabhu. So thank you for wonderful class. Comment about what you said about the devotees in Gujarat. You know, you said that there are most of the devotees who worship Bal Gopal.
Not most of them, many of them.
Many of them. Gujarat is famous for worship of Bal Gopal.
Yeah.
And most of the devotees, they are in Vatsalya bhav to Bal Gopal. So, you said that most of them think that Krishna got polluted after he grew up. So, as per my understanding, also, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, the devotees who are situated in Vatsalya Bhav, they can say anything to Krishna, and they can call Krishna polluted or anything, but that's their bhav, and we should not, we should not see them mundane. That's my understanding. And also Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also says that within the Sakhya Rasa there are four subtypes. So the Sakhya Bhav, the top two types of Sakhya Bhav, then Vatsalya Bhav and Madhurya Bhav devotees can say anything to Krishna, and we should not judge that. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam adarshanat marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidadhatu lampat. He calls Krishna lampat. That's like, you know, that's also a not so good word for to be called to Krishna.
Debauchi.
Yeah. Some, you know, in India or in Sanskrit, lampat is also on the same terms like womanizer. So it's not a good word for to be called to Krishna, but because of their bhav, they say that. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Yeah, this where I got this from, Prabhupada actually said that in Gujarat, they think some actually think that he became polluted. So, you know, this is not good. Some they say like that in a, but they still have devotion for Krishna, but some think that he actually became polluted. Most don't think that, but some actually think that he became degraded. But yeah, obviously, and I'm sure there's so much devotion there that I wish I had myself. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.